This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. I am grateful that you're here with me today. If this is the first time you are listening and watching the I Love Success podcast, my mission is to help at least 10 million people in 10 years to go after their dreams. Right now, you're very important to me. I want you to find some type of idea or message from this show today. So please take notes, please prepare, and please enjoy. And I gotta tell you, this week's show is extra special for me. I have the honor of sitting here today talking to not only an amazing golf pro and also golf coach, but also my cousin. We are both from Macedonia originally. I grew up in Sweden. He grew up in Australia. I think we only met once in real life, but we are connected nevertheless. And I am honored to be here today with my cousin and golf coach, Richard Drukowski. So Richard, welcome to the I Love Success podcast.
Oh, thanks very much, Peter. It's an honor to be on your podcast and hopefully share a few of my experiences to all your viewers.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. And before we dig into your love for golf and the mindset on becoming a good golfer, can we just talk a little bit about you? How was it, you know, growing up in Australia as a Macedonian? Like, what did you dream about as a kid? What was important to you?
Look, I think just our culture in the early 80s when I was in primary school, us Aussies, we just grew up playing a lot of sports, so that was our background. We just found tennis, old tennis balls, soccer balls, rugby league balls, so we just did a lot of school games, and everyone was involved in some kind of sport. So it didn't matter if you're really coordinated or you weren't, everyone just joined in. We played a lot of handball. A lot of bat and ball sports. So I think just the Aussie culture brought all of the, all the cultures, all the Aussie kids, all of us, immigrants who, especially the Europeans, we got mainly into soccer. But in saying that, we just tried everything, cricket, and obviously soccer, rugby league, a bit of tennis and things like that. So, growing up, it was just playing a lot of these, or trying out these sports and obviously going to school. And our dreams were pretty simple back then in the 80s. That's sort of my background growing up in Australia.
And I'm curious, when you were a kid, was winning important to you, or just playing? Like, how were you as a competitor, as an athlete, as a kid?
I think obviously whether it was throwing rocks or skimming rocks along a creek bed or a lake or something like that, we were quite competitive, playing marbles, and that was what sort of instilled those habits. And then in the early stages, soccer was, quite, everyone got into soccer. So everyone tried it, whether you're, a boy or a girl. And that was our sort of first,
How was it for you though? Were you upset if it didn't go your way, or how did you handle that competitiveness as a kid?
I think deep down, you had that desire to, to win all the time. But even if it didn't work out that way, it just drove you to you try harder next time.
That's interesting, because I was curious, just because looking at our background, and especially our grandfather was a very disciplined and very strong personality, and I sometimes feel that that heritage from the Drukowski clan comes out in me. So I, from a personal and selfish question, I was just curious if you have felt that yourself.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I think it must be in our genes somewhere along the line. So yeah, even though our surnames are not a very common one, it must have come from our grandfathers, grandmothers.
So how did you get into golf?
Well, it was pretty interesting. I got in the golf quite late. So all my students and people I meet across golf, most will ask me, you must have started when you're quite young, 5, 6. But I actually started when I was probably, 14th birthday. I got like a 5-piece golf set, from Kmart. And but just probably 6 months prior, I just come across my neighbor had, his dad played golf, and we just found a couple of his golf clubs in the garage. And we thought, we might just go down to the local, park there and, swing away and hit some shots. And we didn't know what we were doing. And I sort of got a bit of a taste of, that one sweet shot I hit, off the middle of the club face. It's fascinating. Once you experience that, I think that's what gets you addicted to, to golf. When I, talk to everybody, I think they have the same sort of sensation of, why they get into this, funny game that we all thought was, for old men that wore, funny pants and, collared shirts, back in, in those early 90s. So I didn't know too much about golf. And then, I was in high school at that stage and, one of my best friends, he actually played golf and I was actually playing. I love my soccer. I was 13, 14 then. And I was also doing actually martial arts. I was doing the Hapkido, Korean form. And I got to actually, red one. So I was only two sort of belts away from black belt. And I was, doing that. I was training, twice a week, three times a week doing that. I was going to soccer training. And then suddenly I got a taste of this, golf. My best mate said, come out and, we've got these junior comps. You can join the club, where my dad plays. And I thought, that sounds pretty good. And he goes, you can win, prizes each Saturday in the sub junior comp. And again, being competitive. And I thought, soccer, we have to play for the whole year to win a trophy. And that's only the best and fairest and, most improved, whatever, trophy or what it was. And I thought, I'm pretty competitive. Let's try this. So, went along to the first sort of Saturday comp or joined the club, for $30 or no, $20 back then. You had unlimited membership and, off I went and just got addicted from that moment.
Wow. I think that's for people who fall in love with a sport or an art or something, is just those moments when it clicks and then you can't stop doing it. And it's interesting how those things happen, right? You found a couple of golf clubs in your neighbor's garage, and then you get onto it like a trajectory that is now your life. And I think that is interesting. And especially for people watching and listening, we don't know what we don't know. So sometimes we think like, I got to find my passion. I don't know what my passion is. And a lot of people are struggling with that. But what I have seen, a lot of times you don't know until you're out there. And when you try things, it's gonna click. And how was it, in the beginning as a golfer, did you understand the game? Were you good at the beginning or what was your kind of story into golf?
I thought just having that, natural sort of hand and eye coordination, which I think just come across from just, as I said at the start, just, playing or throwing, objects or, hitting a ball, whether it was, a cricket bat or a baseball bat or, a tennis racket, whatever it may be, or, a stick and all that sort of stuff. I think that just that natural sort of skill that I developed in the early years as a kid just helped me, get into golf. So I think that's where that come from.
And how soon after you started playing golf did you understand that this is something that I want to continue doing, for the rest of my life?
Yeah, I think the first sort of, again, like my birthday, which was in August, and when I started to play, once a week. So I was doing, soccer in the morning and then
My parents would drive me out to the golf course to play on a Saturday, just a night hole, sort of junior comp. And then I decided to play with the adults on a Sunday comp. So I started to get into that the first 3-4 months. So really by the time I got to Christmas, I was racking up a lot of sort of rounds of golf, and then I was also practicing at the local park hitting balls. So I really made it a habit of doing that, and I was still doing soccer training, doing the martial art training. So there was a lot of free sports.
You were busy.
Busy. But then by that following year, unfortunately, I quit soccer and the martial arts. I really had to think about that, and I was I just loved it, but I just thought, I just love golf, just something just that hitting that white golf ball around a golf course. It was just different all the time, and I think another thing that got me in the golf was playing different golf courses. I just loved there was a challenge on every hole, every different golf course. You get the experience, and that's what really drove me to sort of, unfortunately, quit the other two sports, and then really get stuck in the golf.
Yeah, and looking at your career as a golfer, you played competitively for many years, and then you have coached in different countries, and now you're a pro and coach in outside of Sydney here in Australia. But I'm curious, as a golfer, what has been the moment that you're most proud of to this day?
It's fascinating. With golf, I just love everything about it. Originally, it was all about playing golf. I was getting competitive to, lower my score. And, obviously, that's the object of golf, is get that white golf ball into the hole in the least amount of shots. And, that's what, obviously just drove me first. I just wanted to be a player. And, in my late teenage years, I was just, playing a lot of golf, playing a lot of tournaments, junior tournaments, adult tournaments. So I feel just that sense of, going through that initial 2 or 3 years of doing that. But then really it's just meeting a lot of people, and I really sort of come out of my shell, because I was a shy kid when I started golf. And then suddenly we're teeing it up with adults. And I mean, anyone from age 40, 50, I was playing with 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds at the local club, and engaging in, a lot more adult talk. And, the club that I joined at, it was, like most clubs, back then, they welcomed juniors, but they're quite strict on the traditional values of, the English system of, taking your hat off in the clubhouse, and, wearing the right clothes for golf and all this sort of stuff. So, things have obviously changed now with that sort of stuff, because a lot of clubs are trying to make everyone inclusive and get people involved. But back then it was a good sort of building curve for just life skills, basically. So I think that's the biggest thing I've got out of golf, is just meeting people and, just the conversations we had while we're playing golf. And then, obviously trying to hit good golf shots in between, and bad shots. So I think that's the biggest thing I've got about, being involved in the sport. And then obviously that grew into getting into the industry, after the first couple of years. I started to, pick up range balls at the local club, for the club pro, and then, working a few limited hours. And when I finished my, high school, then I took a year off and played, all the amateur events, and was sort of getting ready to, start my traineeship and turn pro. I got into the industry quite early on, and just loved every bit of it, from anything from the, learning the business side off all my, previous bosses, to, learning how to, fix golf clubs, to selling equipment, to engaging with members, and, all the sort of the business side of it. Just love every moment, and then obviously getting into coaching, and then obviously playing the golf as well, at a professional level.
Thank you for sharing that, and I think it's interesting. I when you talked about like that discipline and character that golf built for you, I feel the same way with martial arts, and I think a lot of people, when you do a sport, you find that sort of structure, and if you are a little bit shy or introverted, it's amazing because you get to be with other people. And that's one thing that I love with karate, because I was a chubby kid. I lost all my friends because I was short and chubby, and then I was just short and skinny. And, you know, that lost, I didn't have any confidence, but doing martial arts, you know, gained confidence, and you started connecting with people from different cities, from even different countries. And I think that's the beauty of martial arts and even the internet nowadays. If you're involved in something that with the goal of becoming better, I think that humbles you a lot, because when you have the goal of becoming better and you're around people that wants to become better, there's no hidden agenda. We all want to, in a way, you know, move forward. And that's why we open ourselves up. And I'm curious now to go a little bit in more into coaching and more into tools, because I know you have a great mind for this, and I know it can be used in other areas than golf as well. So what would you say is the best way to improve, you know, your mindset to stay calm under pressure during a long time? Because one thing that I struggle with, for example, I can focus really good in a karate fight, which is 3 to 5 minutes, but a golf game, it's hours. And I know some of the best golfers can keep, you know, that composure and focus for a long time, even when it doesn't go the way you want in the beginning. So what have you seen, and what are the tools you can implement to just stay calm under pressure and have that positive, you know, mindset under a whole day, basically?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously being out on the golf course for normally 4.5 and sometimes 6 hours, really you only got to concentrate, you know, I would say, you know, for that 10 to 20 seconds when you're about to hit the ball. And then obviously once that happens, whether it's a good one or a bad shot, then you can take the frustration out, and you know, a certain way, and then just move on, and you start walking, and then you have a, you know, talk to your playing partners if it's in that social environment at your members course or whatever it may be. If you're playing in obviously a professional event, most players keep to themselves, but you'll talk to your caddy or you'll, you know, talk to again maybe your playing partners. And then, well, once you know, arrive at your golf ball, you know, you look at, you know, how the ball's sitting, and then you go through your process. And again, you know, that's choosing the right club, and you know, mentally visualing how you want to execute the shot, depending on how that golf ball's, you know, sitting on the turf. And then again, you know, when you're about to execute, it's only that sort of 10, 15, 20 seconds that you go through your pre-shot routine, and then you're ready to execute, and off you go. And then you got to, you know, switch off again for that 2 or 3, 4 minutes until you get to the ball and it's your turn to play again.
But how do you switch that as a player? You start off the day and it doesn't go at all like you want to. Like you visualize the shot, but then you do it and it doesn't go your way. And it happens 2 or 3 more times. And I've seen this in martial arts. Like when that happens, most people, they can't switch. They're going to lose that fight. But that's a short span. I think you have more time in golf to recoup. Maybe I don't understand the game fully, but I'm curious, how do you, like, what do you do? Like what do you do to the mind at that stage?
Yeah, well, I think it's just goes through experience. And now when I've been involved in the game, when you start to understand your tendencies, as in what your faults are. So everyone's probably got 4 or 5 faults at different levels. And just say at an elite level, you know, you're going to have those sort of, you know, inklings that come into your physical swing, and then through, you know, what you've done, as in, you know, the exercise or the drills or what your coach has told you to get out of that, and you practice hard, but the skill set, you get better at then identifying the fault. So you might hit, you know, some days you just wake up, you don't feel good, your body's not swinging in good rhythm and tempo, and you know it's not there, and the ball flight's not going the right way, and it's not coming off the sweet spot. And so you just have to sort of try and coach your way out of it early on in the piece. So when you have had that experience, it's a bit easier. So after, say, the first 2 or 3 holes, you might be, you know, hitting it poorly, then you can overcome it. You know, I also sort of say, like, clunk it around the rest of the 15 holes and then try and achieve the lowest score possible by challenging yourself through, your short game skills, chipping it close and putting. And then obviously at elite level, the mental side is more crucial than the physical part of it, where if I'm coaching a beginner, yes, everyone, needs to build a bit of the skill set. So they have a few different issues that way. But again, I try and install, mental cues for even, beginners to intermediate and obviously to the advanced golfers. It's a lot more mental, but get the right focus in and try and change that mindset early on in the piece. So you're not just frustrated and hitting it poorly and giving up, where then you have a really bad round and then you're sort of lost. So that's sort of, my way of going about it.
From your perspective, looking at and studying, the best golfers, when do they play the best in the game? Do they end the best way or do they start the best? Like, what's your take on that?
Golf's one of those games you're never gonna have, a perfect round of 18 holes, let alone 72 holes in a proper four round tournament. So there's always going to be up and downs. There's going to be a sweet spot where you're playing well. It might be a six-hole stretch at the start, or it might be in the middle of the round, or it might be at the end of the round. It just depends. But sometimes we finish off poorly, and it's not a good way to sort of finish. And you can sometimes that can fester and linger into searching for these answers, which might be going down the wrong path, and instead of reflecting on the good stuff that you did during the course of the day.
It's hard. Yeah. I mean, you can see in sports or in life in general, when somebody does something they're not happy with, there are people that can regroup quickly, and there are people like telling themselves, you can almost hear how they're talking negative to themselves. And you as a coach, you probably experience this a lot. How do you coach your clients to change that? Because I know, as a general rule, a lot of us are so hard on ourselves. And I think in a way, it's good to be hard on yourself if you can regroup quickly and still feeling worthy. But some people, they're like so hard on themselves. So how do you do that in golf, and how do you think people can do it in life in general?
Yeah, I think it's everyone's got high expectations. And again, when I'm coaching all my students, it's we're trying now that the last 3 or 4 years have got so much better with just understanding what the student, what their pain is, and how we can sort of lower their expectations. Because a lot of the times we'll take them out on the golf course for assessment, or we're on the driving range and they're expecting to hit shots at a high caliber golf shots, but they're not at that level. So we've got to talk them through and educate them that this particular shot they hit, that's a good shot for their level. And then they can, once you lower your expectations, then you don't expect as much. And then you can say, that's my stock shot, and I'm happy with that 60-70% shot. And if I play that way, I'm going to be a lot more consistent to my level. And yes, you're going to hit some really good shots, but then you're going to hit some really poor shots. And it's limiting the poor shots in a course of a round that will help you get around to your level, your handicap. And that's how you're going to really start to make these little shifts in small little increments to improve your game. And sometimes, again, it might not be just the physical swing. It's just a few little mental cues that I can install into the golfer that's going to help them dramatically. Because it's just getting yourself out of the way and being patient, which is hard to do, because we all want to achieve that result straight away. But as you said, a round of golf is a long time.
It's funny because I always see you, even though we don't know each other that well, I always see you as this super patient guy that are so composed, and I admire that. What do you think, is that something you have learned through practice, or how did you become, patient?
Yeah, I think maybe just going back to just being a shy kid, and not sort of, talking much or giving my opinion. So I think that's just probably been my trait, and that's, how I'm sort of patient. But in saying that, I've been around a lot of other golfers who are completely different opposite personalities, and, they get frustrated and, they talk a lot and all that sort of stuff. But, everyone has to find their own way within their personality of how to achieve their in this case, their best golf.
Yeah. And how has it been, doing golf and you being shy, usually you were a shy kid. Did golf help you improve the confidence in your life in other areas as well?
Oh, definitely. You're going from, starting then obviously play better golf and then you're playing tournaments and then you suddenly have to do, for example, speeches when you win a prize and start then get practice doing that in front of a lot of people in the clubhouse. And that's just one of those life skills that you start to get better at, and that's I think how all that all comes out.
That's cool. And one thing that I think is so cool, and I want to share this with the audience, is that no matter where you are in your life right now, and you might look at things, and believe that it's the biggest problem or the biggest obstacle that you're facing right now. The crazy thing about that, it feels so real to you. And I've been there myself. We're facing challenges all the time. And then we talk to somebody that have experienced this hundreds of time, and they usually have such a simple solution. And that's why I love YouTube. I love the internet. I love books. I love podcasts, because most of the challenges that we face, they're already been faced by somebody else and they're willing to share. So please try these things that we're talking about here today, because it actually works. That's the crazy part. And that's why, having a coach, I think, one thing that I'm curious in your field, how do you get your students to listen to your guidance? Because I know myself, I can be that way too. Sometimes, even though I have a coach, in the back of my mind, maybe I have a better way. And I start to deviate from the guidance. So what's your thoughts on that and how do you do to get your students to listen to you?
Yeah, I think now I've been coaching for, I started my apprenticeship in 1997, and we obviously learned everything about, the golf industry, a little bit about, selling or the business side of it, coaching, repairing golf clubs, running events and things like that. And then we started to do a few lessons to a few of the members as a bit of our training. So officially, I started really coaching, probably in the early 2000s. So I've been doing it now for 22 years.
Yeah.
And obviously in the early stages, it was all about sort of telling, the student all the knowledge that we had about the golf swing, because we got to that elite level. So we found that out ourselves through practicing, getting to a good level, and obviously the coaches that helped me along the way, learning from them, and obviously reading golf books and that. So early on, the instruction was more sort of telling, but now I've really changed the way I sort of try and communicate a lot better with the student. They all come to us with a problem, and most of the time it's I slice the ball. So for, these non-golfers out there on your podcast, the ball going out to the right for a right-handed golfer with a driver, they all want to hit the ball long way and straight. But that's basically what most, inquiries will come, can you fix my driver? So now it's more like fixing the technical part is the easy bit for us, because we know how, the golf swing works. It's basically a circle on an incline, and the wheel gets buckled, as I explained. Most of the time that wheel, it's going to the left with an open club face, and the golf ball goes out to the right. but there's sometimes a deeper issue. So I just start to ask a few more questions on, you know, why do you want to, you know, fix your slice? And they might say, well, maybe to, you know, not lose as many golf balls. And, you know, why do you want to, you know, lose, you know, less golf balls? Or I want to play better, you know, score better. And, you know, why do you want to score better? Oh, maybe it's to beat my friends, or I'm going on a golf trip in a couple of months' time, or I might be to lower my handicap. So everyone's got different reasons. It's not always about maybe the score, but they want that improvement. So just go through that and try and establish what their main, you know, pain point is. And then from there, we can sort of devise a bit of a plan. If that student is willing to work at it and be accountable to work at it, you know, after the lesson, during the week, and then they come back for, you know, once we develop a customized program, that's how we're going to improve their goal and achieve, you know, better results, you know, hitting that golf ball.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm curious, what is the most rewarding thing for you being a coach?
Just obviously my students, well, when they come to me and they're willing to work at it in their own time, and actually, well, what I say to them is, you know, the coaching part, I can, you know, tell them all the theory of the golf swing and how it works, but it's up to them to work at it and develop their way so they can be their own coach. As I said, once you're on the golf course, golf being an individual sport, deep down in our brain, we know if it's not working well or if it's going well or whatever it may be. So it's how do you identify to, you know, cure yourself? You know, I'm there to help you. You can come along, but if you're not going to help yourself, you're not going to improve. So that's the biggest thing I try and install. Now, obviously, depending on the level of golfer, you know, bit by bit, we can chip away at certain little things to help them, you know, be a better, their own coach in their own mind, whether it's, you know, fixing their golf swing physically out on the course, or mentally getting better out on the golf course. That's huge. Yeah, the mental focus, just focusing in on, you know, how you want that golf ball to go, you know, whether it's that perfect shot or you draw on experience from when you've had hit a good shot on the golf course, and trying to recall that scenario again and trying to, you know, capture that moment and then see if you can execute that, and that straight away will get your confidence back. So that's the biggest thing I try and install in, you know, my students, that come along.
It's beautiful. And one thing that I think about when you say that help yourself, I think a lot of times people are looking for shortcuts, and they do believe that a coach can give them shortcuts, and which they can in a certain way, because you see something from the side or from above, but it's still about doing the work. And I think that's something that's interesting. And I think it's the same for everything in life, right? When you do the work, the results will come. And one thing that I took from your conversation here is that you're talking a lot about visualization, and a lot of successful people in different walks of life, they do talk about visualization. So what do you do on a daily basis in your life, you know, to visualize your future and where you're going and where you're heading?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, for me, it's maybe, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you just, you go through the process of, you know, what you want to obviously achieve for the day, and then maybe you go through, you know, maybe a short-term sort of recollection of, you know, what you want to maybe achieve in next week, and then maybe have that sort of long-term plan or goal. And yeah, just, you've got to be a dreamer, I think. You know, all of us, you know, golfers as kids, you know, you're pretending you know, when you're practicing, you're going to, you know, sink this putt to win a US Masters or whatever it may be. And yeah, you've got to be dreaming. Yeah, you got, I think, yeah, a lot of daydreaming. That definitely that helps. Yeah. So that's sort of my mindset of that.
Yeah, I agree. And how do you handle failure? How do you get past that and into, you know, the mode of becoming better and learning from failures?
I think you definitely got to fail. It was, in most cases for successful people, they all fail. You know, listening to, all different, or reading books or now podcasts of all these, successful business people, whatever it may be, or sporting, athletes, and they all, all fail at some stage. They're just not winning all the time. So I think once you fail, whether say in my sport, you finish off around poorly, or you didn't play to the expectation of what you had in mind at the start of the day, you got to learn from that experience, and then you got to go back to the drawing board and go, all right, it wasn't my swing that let me down. Was it just a bad, mental poor decision out on the golf course? And how can I practice that skill to get better next time? Then you might fail again, or it might improve a little bit, and then you go back to it. And then suddenly when you do pull it off, it's such a great feeling. And that's what, then gets you to that next little stage, and then you'll play, and then you'll fail again in another aspect. And then you got to keep chipping away at that, and that's how you get better. And that's, again, what I try and install into all my students that come along is, go through that system. You're not just going to hit perfect shots. And I think that's what draws us to golf. We get addicted. As I said, my first recollection of, hitting that golf ball off the center of an iron face, that sweet feeling you get, seeing the golf ball fly up in the air, that trajectory of the golf ball, and, how the ball reaches its peak height and then falls down, that's just, that's the kick we get out of, and when I, again, students come along, that's why they're coming back to the game, because we're always losing golf. We're always hitting bad shots. As I said, you never perfect it. We don't get a second chance out on the golf course. So it's one of those sports where if you hit a ball crooked and it goes over the fence out of bounds, you've got to reload. And then that pressure really mounts, because suddenly you're hitting the third shot off the tee. You don't get a second serve like in tennis or in team sports. You could be, having a poor, match in a soccer game individually, but you still win. And other times you might play good as an individual in a team sport and you lose. But in golf, it's just all up to you. And as I said, most of the time you lose, because we're trying to win the obstacle course, which is the golf course. But then there's also a field of players as well, where there's 100 or 150 in the comp. And sometimes you might beat the course, but then another player or another 10 players will beat your score. Then other times, everyone plays poorly and then you come on top. So that's how it works. Yeah.
How do you, because when you're talking about this, you I feel like you're talking about a very analytical, which is awesome, because I think if we look at things we do in life when it comes to sports, business, or things of that nature, is that if we understand that just because I perform poorly today doesn't mean that I'm a bad person, it makes things easier. I think what gets in the way of like most of us is that our emotions are involved. And if we lose at golf or we lose at karate, we also suck as a human being. And I think that's the hard part for many of us. So can you share, how have you been able to develop that? And what advice would you have to others that take it, personal?
Well, I would just say, golf is a sport. It's meant to be enjoyed. So we go out there, well, most club golfers go out there just to have, 4 or 5 hours to themselves. So enjoy it. You're going to hit some bad shots, have a laugh, and then continue on. And then obviously, at the end of the round, if you're really involved in the sport and you really want to improve, then you might just, in your mind, you might go through the round, depending on what level you're at. And then you can then, maybe have a practice during the week and try and get a little bit better at that one little, component that really lets you down. And that's how you can, draw on some, improvements, and then hopefully that will help you next time, the golfer goes out on the golf course.
Yeah. How do you deal with clients that come in and have like a very stressed, very busy day, and then you go into like a golf class? Because one thing that I realized in my life doing karate, if I had a really bad day, sometimes it was really hard to train unless I just let it go. If I let it go, I actually felt much better after, but it was just that hard to, you know, change the focus.
Yeah, again, you know, when you know, students come to me, they always think that the golf lesson or golf group class is, you know, it's just instruction, it's technique all the time. I'm really trying to educate them in how to practice effectively. So better quality practice, not quantity of golf balls. So again, I know, you know, everyone's an amateur golfer. They're just playing socially. They just want that small little, you know, fix. Now, when they come to the, say, you know, the golf course, if we're doing a golf course lesson or it's, you know, a range lesson, I go, let's educate you in how to, you know, warm up properly. So what happens normally, I see all the time at a driving range, is players get the big driver out and off they go, full ball, 100%, haven't warmed up. They're just starting to whack these golf balls, you know, and they might buy a bucket of 100 balls and they're whack, 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 and they're done in half an hour. And, you know, I look at it and go, what have you actually achieved? Maybe an injury, you know, because they've come out down, you know, in the office, or they're just really frustrated and then they get out of rhythm with their golf swing. And when you're out of rhythm in a golf swing, you know, as players say, I'm swinging fast, that really means, you know, your backswing and then your downswing, the transition is fast, and you just can't time the ball. So it's really, you know, teaching them or coaching them how to, you know, practice properly. So let's do some, you know, warm-up practice swings. That's doing some easy swings, brushing the grass or the mat, trying to just get some timing, get a bit of a rhythm, slowing, you know, maybe the blood pressure down if someone's, you know, rushing out of the car, and then hit some, you know, short shots first. So you get a bit of finesse and then you work your way up into sort of full flight, hitting 100% golf shots, whether that's with irons and then, you know, the long stuff, the driver, the fairway woods towards the end of the session. And then you might finish off with a few short game shots. You know, that's how the pros warm up or practice. So it's, there's no reason why, you know, amateur golfer can't do it the same way. And that's the thing I try and install, is, you know, better quality practice. And again, even at home, even if you've only got a little bit of space, you know, do a few practice swings at home, just trying to nip the grass. You don't have to hit any golf balls, put a tee in the ground, practice coordinating, you know, hitting that tee out of the ground, or, you know, place two tees in the ground, swinging through the little goal post that the golf club fits into, and get good at that coordination. And that's sort of the best way from a skill set to, you know, work on your golf swing. And that's better quality practice than just whacking hundreds of balls during the week and then you're just building in the wrong golf swing, and that festers into months and months and years and years. So again, when a new student comes to me and they haven't had much golf coaching before, they're obviously going to be harder to change, but I'm going to really go through the process of, you know, changing them just bit by bit to understand how it all works. So it's really the education of the practice method, not so much fixing that technical fault in their golf swing straight up. And that really benefits, yeah, the players that actually install those good habits, that they will improve faster. And the one that doesn't want to change, and I explain to them, well, anything we do in life, whether it's at work or, you know, at school or in a sport, we don't want change because it feels foreign. And changing golf swing by an inch on the video analysis, that might take 6 months. It's not going to happen after the first half an hour, you know, in a lesson. And yeah, that's what they got to really, yeah, you know, I think, like you said in your book, you're going to do probably 10,000 good repetitions to install that change. It's not going to happen after a couple of swings.
Yeah, it's so interesting what you're saying. Also about, I feel like, unfortunately, in today's society, a lot of times we're trying to do a lot, but we are never questioning like how well it was done. And I think that is something very, very important. It's not always how much you do. It's the quality and the focus and the intensity in that moment. And I really like that. And I really enjoy that, you know, patience thing. And if you look at people that have achieved a lot of success in life, one of the tools that I've seen, or one of the traits that a lot of them have, is the composure, is the patience, is the ability to stay calm under pressure, is the ability to regroup, you know, quickly when things are not going their way in a game or in life. So this has all been great tools. Before I let you go, Richard, I'm curious, like, what has been the book or the person that impacted your life the most?
I think one of the first, it was a golf book. It was by Jack Nicklaus. So again, for all those non-golfers on your podcast, he's won the most amount of majors. The Golden Bear, he brought out these instructional books, and they're like basically comic books. So it was, Jack Nicklaus, Golf My Way, and he had a few different volumes. And I remember buying that book. My mum bought it when I first got my golf set at Kmart, and it had all these captions of all these experiences in like the major tournaments that he played in. And there was obviously the technical instruction, but there was also a lot of those snippets where he might be looking at for example, when he played the US Masters on the 12th hole, which is a par three over the water, and the wind swirls, and there was a caption of him visualizing the ball flight, how he'll go through that mental preparation in his mind. And I think reading those books, that was probably the as a kid, there's a lot of drawings, not just words. That really was a book that in my golf career has helped me a lot. Yeah, it's probably one of the best ones. And then obviously Tiger Woods come out with his version later on. I think the Jack Nicklaus book, that's helped me a lot for just that mental focus obviously for golf, but now as I'm getting more into the business mindset in running my coaching business, then I just sort of use that skill that I've learned to then focus on my business to improve that.
Awesome, thanks, Richard. And before I have one final question, and that is, for people that have been listening to this show, they want to improve their mindset, they want to be a little bit better at what they do, what's the first thing they should do right after this podcast to get started?
I would just say, all of us have got, maybe some kind of purpose in our life. We all want to get somewhere. So there's no reason why you can't achieve those goals, and, write them down, and, each, day or week, just chip away at those little bits and pieces. Even though that end goal might be such a high goal, we can all get there. All these successful people, they get there through, taking that challenge on and going through that process of up and downs. And if you go through that, you learn a lot off other people. Try and get in contact with people. Again, I've been lucky in golf because with golfers, I always ask what they do. First of all, to see how they go through the how they look at things. They might be an engineer in their occupation, so they might be quite analytical that way. So when I communicate with them, I can maybe talk more about numbers and a bit more about the technique, and then might get someone else in a different occupation where I have to keep it a lot simple, and that's how they learn. So I would say chase your dreams, and we can all achieve that goal of feeling good about ourselves. That's the best investment you can do in life is if you feel good, that's the best thing achieve. I feel, and all the other stuff is just just stuff. But if our minds are healthy and active and puts a smile on your face, then that's how life is. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks, Richard. I appreciate your time. It's been a true pleasure. I hope that we get to meet and connect in real life soon. Maybe in Macedonia. It's about time. And maybe we can visit our grandfather's grave together one day. That would be a great moment. And I just want to say thank you for everything you do, for giving your time and energy to helping people becoming better. And, just dedicating your life to that. We truly appreciate that. There's a lot of people that need, I think we all need coaches in different areas in our life. And I'm always so grateful to people that, put their time into, coaching, because it is, as a coach, sometimes it's challenging because you also have bad days as a coach and you need to coach others and lead by example. So thanks again, Richard. I truly appreciated this conversation. For everybody that are still here with us, listening, watching, we're grateful for you. I hope you find some value in this. If you're a golfer, that's awesome. If you're not a golfer, I think you probably learned a lot of things. For me, what I take away from this, conversation, and also from golf, but also from you, Richard, is the patience, variant of life, and also being analytical in the things you do, that helps, not being so hard on yourself, helps making life a little bit more interesting and making progress a game, not something so serious, because progress is a game. Life should be a game. I know we all face different stages and challenges in our lives, but it is also beautiful. So thank you guys. If you enjoyed this conversation, share it with somebody else. That's it. Thank you for watching and listening to the I Love Success podcast, and I'll see you guys soon.